Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Dr. Drew hangs out at the beginning of the show, talks some smack about COVID and the governor and California and everything else, and we'll get Ravi Patel, very funny guy, in there as well. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. Football is back, people. And by the way, MLB playoffs are here as well, so you might not be able to go to the game, but you can get in on all the action at Bet Online. What do we got coming up this Sunday? We got Ravens at Eagles, Texans at Titans, Rams at 49ers, Browns at Steelers, Packers at Buccaneers. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. Head to BetOnline. Do that today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a download of Basic Cable Commentary Presents the award-winning Showgirls, a migraine stick, perfect for your hangovers, an ACS logo pop, stick it on your phone, set it and forget it, a keto-friendly and Vinny-approved chipmunk cookie to stave off hunger without a burrito, and of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to get 1 month or keep the shipments coming. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the star of Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness, Ravi Patel. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, Jeff Cesario with the sports, and the great Dr. Drew drops by. And now, don't tell him Trump is unhinged. Not because he disagrees, but because he'll just do 20 minutes on strike side versus butt side and non-removable pins. Adam Carolla.
Light patient load for Lynch yesterday. When he drops those kind of jewels, that means he's got a little free time. When you hear quotes from a Yes song from 1973, that means he had a full load of patience.
Right, right. I get that.
That's how he rolls.
And how about when a patient takes advantage, stresses him?
Oh, yeah.
Then watch out.
Hey, good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Ball Brian.
Whatever.
Dr. Drew and the Hizzy.
Dude, it's almost 100 outside.
It is.
It's almost Halloween.
I don't think it's almost 100. I think it is 100 outside.
In the valley, it's 100, yeah.
Brutal.
It is brutally hot. Sorry. Drew and I just circumnavigated the block a couple of times.
Oh.
98 in Glendale as we speak. All right. Drew was in studio for a while. I told him to hang back. There's some semi-new COVID news from the World Health Organization.
Yes.
So we shall play. It's been making the rounds. it's been the WHO, Brian.
That's right.
The who? The WHO.
The who?
The World Health Organization.
Who?
He waited. You see what he did there, kids?
Timing. So
half a beat. Solid six.
All right. Let's play the clip from who? This is the...
Don't do that.
This is the... Who is this, Drew?
This is a representative of the World Health Organization and an Oxford University professor.
All right. Here we go. Oh, David.
But we had Professor Sunetra Gupta from Oxford University on, and she was implying, and I'm interested in you because you have a global mandate, a global view, was that a problem we don't think about in lockdowns is that they're very nationalistic. that if we lock down our economy, then it hits our economy. But it also means we are not buying stuff. We're not trading with weaker economies. We are not just destroying our own jobs. We're destroying the jobs of all those that in the poorer parts of the world that export to us. That seemed to me to be a reasonable point.
Really important point by Professor Gupta. I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
So do not. This is from Len, who you may not know. He also
from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, you may not know. He also works for the World Health Organization. Oh. But he is saying that you should not, under any circumstances, use lockdown because of the dire consequences. His focus is on the economic consequence and the expansion of poverty and that having massive health consequence. He can pile onto that the mental health consequences that have been irreparable and possibly will rival the COVID deaths.
Why I talked to you earlier today about Disneyland being closed down and there's all these other major theme parks around the world
yes.
are open and they're giving them the information on how to safely open.
Right. So every other Disney is in conversation or opening every theme park they have throughout the world, except the one government on earth that will not talk to them, state of California, just won't even talk to them.
What does it say symbolically? The happiest place on earth is closed indefinitely.
I think they should go to Texas. And maybe that will get their attention. I don't know. What's going to get their attention? What are they doing? What's the
isn't
point?
Isn't Newsom sending people to Florida now to go? I don't know if it's just to appease
that was
everyone
today.
And get them
that was today.
Back.
That was today. That was today. They're going to see what they're doing in Disney World. Why don't they pick up the phone and find out what they're doing and do the same thing here?
Sure, this takes time. Well, by the way, you know, this information couldn't be passed on from the Florida theme park. You have to send
no way. You have to be witnessed.
You have to send
well,
secret
the
shoppers
thing.
Over there. The cotton
shoppers,
candy was a little dry, Gavin.
I was a secret shopper.
I know. Huh? I was thinking about you.
Just to sort of crystallize it even further, because I think they meant, you know, we needed a lockdown when nobody knew what this was or how people
yes,
reacted to it.
Correct.
But it's not a form of maintenance.
Right. So even as World Health Organization guy makes that same point, which is, I thought it was excessive, the whole shelter in place, everybody, shelter in place. I thought that was excessive at the beginning, but I said, all right, there are leaders, they're planning for worst case scenario. We don't really know what's going on here. Reasonable that we follow their direction and let's go. Let's do it. But it's enough. We now know we have no hospitalizations are way down, death rate way down. We have therapeutics. We have a vaccine coming. We know how to live with the virus. Why only California? Florida, by the way, the state that has Disney World is completely open. Completely open. You can go to an NFL game in a stadium in Florida.
Well, as I tweeted out, be prepared to die again, Floridians. We already went through
cryptic.
This.
It's really it's mystifying. It's weird.
Well, can I say this? Don't you guys feel like when it comes to making a decision, wouldn't it be nice? I'm making this up, but okay. California is a supermajority. Gavin Newsom's a retarded person. I get it, but wouldn't it be nice to have a kind of bipartisan commission like? Some business owners, some people that wanted to open
right,
up.
Right.
Because you have Newsom, you have Garcetti, you have Barbara Ferrer, and you have the other guy's an imbecile. Who's he? What's that guy's name?
Galley.
Galley,
who guaranteed us 2 weeks ago a 90% increase in hospitalization. Instead, we're down 30%.
All right. That guy's an imbecile. You know, there's going to be a big surge.
How about an apology?
After Labor Day, big Labor Day surge that never showed up. So we have five or six or a handful of people who don't want the state to open in charge of deciding whether the state reopens. Shouldn't we have three people who wanted the state to reopen and three people who didn't want the state to reopen? And then they could wrestle it out. They could plead their case.
And by the way, they're going to hide behind. We're just following the science. World Health Organization is the science. So you're denying the science. You're not following the science. There it is.
I'm just glad we're listening to the World Health Organization again. I'm old enough to remember when at the beginning of this thing, they were persona non grata. You couldn't get into a conversation with someone without them saying, oh, you can't trust WHO. They're totally corrupt.
Now probably that'll get worse, right?
No, I don't. The guy, by the way, who's the main guy? The main guy from the WHO. That guy's
unpronounceable name. Hold on.
That guy's a little kooky. And I agree. Yeah, you can't do it both ways. You can't denounce them and then embrace them at the same time.
I don't think I denounced. I don't remember denouncing them.
I wasn't talking about Drew. I was saying there were a lot of people.
I agree. There were.
And yeah,
I
think conventional wisdom.
They may double down. They may double down.
Tedros and Hanan or whatever.
Adhanom.
That guy seems a little sketchy. But the guy with the Cockney accent, tend to agree with him.
Len.
Yeah. Also, just because it was making me and Drew laugh our asses off the air, I do want to revisit a couple of Gavin Newsom clips because I really do feel like this is a window into his non-thinking, and why we're having so much difficulty with something like Disneyland reopening.
You guys traveled to other states?
Yeah. Of course, dude. Did tons of live shows. During COVID?
During COVID.
Oh, sorry about that.
You'd be shocked.
No. Have you been shocked on a train, Brian?
You'd be shocked at what it feels like.
That's a totally out-of-context question. I've been in many states.
No, because you'll really be shocked at how different every state in the union feels. It's actually stunning. It's stunning how different it is.
I spent a week in Sedona, in like remote Arizona a few months ago, and it was clean and distanced, and it was it seemed very managed. Now, granted, the density isn't what it is here, but it's
low key.
Yeah,
it's low key. So. Trust the population. Guys, take care of it. Feels the oppression just is really phenomenal. Every night, your mayor, your county health officials, and your governors getting on TV going, this today, three souls left the earth because of COVID. Our prayers. We're doing great, everybody. Cases down, hospitalization way down, death down. Congratulations. Keep it up. Good work. That's a public health message.
Right. All right. We'll play you a little window into the mind of Gavin Newsom. Now, it's a clip we played last week or the week before, but I broke it down a little bit further this time. So first off, you just have to listen to his reason and his logic.
Logic?
Here we go.
Former Governor Brown said it best. Where the hell are you going to go? And, you know, I love Texas. What? Don't get me wrong.
Is that the new California motto? Where the hell are you going to go?
I don't know, but he said it.
What?
That's a nonsensical statement. You're quoting somebody. Like it's like my grandpappy used to say, six of one, a half dozen of the other. Is that true?
What's he mean by that?
It's something.
Well, he's not really knee high to a grasshopper.
Right. All right. I repeated something. Is that true? I don't know. He said it. You're blaming Governor Brown for saying it 14 years ago or whenever. Just listen to it one more time and picture that guy running a business. Picture that guy's running a business.
Governor Brown said it best. Where the hell are you going to go? And, you know, I love Texas. What? Don't get me wrong.
Is that the new California motto? Where the hell are you going to go?
I don't know, but he said it.
That's hysterical.
He's being interviewed and someone's recording this interview.
He's not a microphone.
He's not drunk on the toilet yelling through a holocore door at his stepson. He's the governor of California and he's being interviewed, and the person that's interviewing him is saying, what about all the people leaving California? That's the first response. The second one, of course, is the one Drew enjoyed, which is, you want to play the zero-sum game
Oh, my God.
Or I don't know if there's three or not.
There's three, yeah.
Go ahead.
But it was an interesting point because where are you going to get so many of the other things in the balance sheet?
But you are aware that I've lived there for 2 decades, essentially, and this is the first time I've had people really talking about not being there and not that they could figure it out somewhere else. I don't think that's true. I think they can figure out where they're going to go.
Yeah, and then that means, but it's not a zero-sum game.
Don't know what that means.
You know, I see where he's going now. I finally figured it out. He, under his breath, said, there's other things on the balance sheet. So what he's trying to say is, if you leave California, a bunch of things, a bunch of negatives you leave. You may get some positive, but you leave a bunch of things behind. It's like, no, asshole, it's all negative now. That's why we're fleeing. It is a zero-sum game. That's why we leave. Because it's no longer in balance. We stay when it's in balance. There's a certain reason to stay, a certain reason to leave. Now it's all leave. We leave.
Right. Well, that's simply what it is for everyone I know who grew up out here, loves the state, has always been out here, and all the people who came here because it was a golden state. We'll play the last one, which is the perfect. Again, forget about.
I like the way he's trying to build a balance sheet of pros and cons to be in California. That's insulting.
Well, let's put it to you this way. I'm listening to this like a psychologist, like a pediatric psychologist. I'm trying to get inside the mind.
Are there
mind.
Cognitive deficits in this child?
Yes, I'm trying to figure out what this
ADD,
guy is doing.
What is it?
But I'm interested in his process of like, here's how I answer. Again, So his last answer on what are you going to do about people leaving California is?
Right.
Okay, I have a friend who just went to Utah. Beautiful. It may be the right thing for him. They've made a ton of money. They have the ability to take their kids out of public school into private school, and they're doing that.
In Utah.
And, I imagine they're not going to turn their back forever on California.
Why? Why?
Well, this couple with their kids who've made a lot of money in California and now they're leaving, they're probably 50 years old. Mm-hmm. If they do come back from Utah one day, it'll be to retire in Laguna Niguel. It won't be to start a business.
Yeah, or to create jobs.
This huge tax base. But why is that your example? I know a couple that left.
And they're doing beautifully.
I'm glad you brought this clip up because the first time we played this, this is the moment that stuck out for me when he was like, oh, they've achieved something. They've gotten to a place of success. And his example was they can take their kids out of public school and put them in private school. I really didn't think he was talking about Utah public schools. I thought he was talking about LAUSD public schools or somewhere in California because like, oh, we've made it. We can go somewhere now and put our kids in private school. Like that's making it.
Right. So either way, that's your governor. And if you want to know why you can't ride on the Pirates of the Caribbean this weekend, kids, it is. Now, I don't know what we do with thinking when it's not thinking.
Do you address non-logic logic?
If we're not going to move in a linear kind of logic, database, whatever, also with some motivation. The thing about him is if I was the governor of a state and the biggest private employer in that state was Disneyland, I would have them on my mind and on the clock all the time.
And I'd be in like, conversation with them.
Right. I'd be like, how can we get them
over? He refuses to talk to them.
I'd be talking to my staff going, can we get them to 25%? Can we do 25%? When do you think? Can we try that?
Go study.
What's going on in Florida?
Look at Shanghai. Look at Beijing. Look at Florida. What have they done?
He's not motivated to open Disneyland.
But that's what's weird. That's just weird. You don't care about 50,000 Californians whose livelihood is dependent on that park? It's just disgusting to me.
Well, we got to just discuss you one more time because you got to play the traffic. You got to just play my short traffic, one. Oh, Max Bad doesn't have it?
That one's Gary, just baffling.
Gary, you had it. You had it from before. Tell Gary to give it to you.
It's not all bad news,
really?
Dr. Drew.
Tell me.
You're being a little sullen because remember, wineries were allowed to open first. I don't think it has anything to do with
these pot distributors. Distributors, it's okay.
Gina, you just got what I got for 21 years of sitting next to Dr. Drew because he doesn't know when you're coming with a joke. He doesn't know. So you go, well, it's not all bad news. And I go, okay, I know.
Do
and
tell.
Turns out wineries were able to stay open first during the pandemic. And guess who owns not just wineries, pot dispensaries, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
blah, blah.
She
was getting to the punch.
Drew,
to the,
I hear you.
So this is 20 years of this. I had to do this for 20 years.
I'm better at it with him, but at least I pay attention with him. I don't pay attention to anybody else. Understand?
The rhythm. The rim. It's not all bad news. You have to know.
Pot are still a mystery. It was a.
That was my bad. Sorry.
We should find that. We should replay that last minute of the show just to let Dr. Drew hear.
I'm aware. Thank you for the feedback.
My point is, he invests in a wine.
I get it. She was making a political point.
No.
Not just a joke.
She was. Okay.
It was a joke.
Whatever Gina. It was, it had an ending.
Who's your friend?
In Gina's mind, it had an ending.
Yes, yes.
In your mind, it was just a beginning and a middle.
Seriously, listen to me. Listen to me. Seriously, maybe you should give me a primer on jokes. I'm not kidding.
Well, the first thing's first. There's a couple things. First off, you always have to consider the source.
Which is what I always do. That's why I focus on you so carefully, and I'm not expecting a joke from Gina.
But when Gina goes...
Oh, that was very nice.
You did it. You delivered a nice joke. You're funny. I'm not saying you're not funny. I'm just saying I'm anticipating jokes from Adam.
Right.
Find that clip. We got to play it for Drew. All right, wait. We have the traffic one? Well, you want to play the Drew fuck-up or the traffic
one? I got to go.
Just one second. Come on.
This is traffic.
All right, it's new traffic. And California, with some of the worst traffic in the world, doesn't have a policy that Idaho thought of.
Is that right?
This can't be the first time you've heard this.
Well, not specifically this. I saw a billboard out on the 405 says you're not stuck in traffic. And you're thinking, how the hell, what does that mean? It says you are traffic, which I kind of like.
You kind of like it. I'm sure everyone else stuck on the 110 trying to make a fucking flight out of LAX isn't quite as amused by the billboard. Yeah. I kind of like that. That's literally... Hey, Governor, what are we going to do about traffic? I kind of like this billboard I saw about traffic.
Imagine if you were running a business.
Someone with cows that eat more chicken. That's pretty funny.
Imagine him running a business. Imagine if he ran a business. Is he must have been very good looking as a 17-year-old male in California. Mm. Do you think he's just a ditz? This is the kind of talk that dumb people, good-looking high school people do, a kind of a circular, hey, let me tell you what I saw. Because the ladies, you tell that to a 17-year-old high school girl, and she goes, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, Governor. All right, Drew, we're here, Drew's clip. Takes a minute to find. All right, you're a lucky man, Drew, because you're going to...
In the meantime, I do hate to point out that Gavin Newsom is a successful businessman. He has the Plump Jack Group. He has hotels and wineries. But to your point, why can't he apply those principles to just governing the state? It should be relatively...
It also makes it suspect. Like, maybe somebody ran it for him and he just had his name and money went into it. It just seems suspect. I mean, seems unbelievable. Seems uncanny that he could run a business, doesn't it?
It does. I agree. If they're successful, I mean, oftentimes you're a partner in a whatever, and some of that is the partner. But you run a business, you have a business, you understand making payroll and paying taxes and that sort of stuff. I'm sure it's not a day in and day out, you know, nuts and bolts stuff, but. I don't know why he wouldn't apply that to Disneyland.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Do I have to listen to this torture, or can I go?
If you can find it, that would be – if we can.
Dawson's hard at work. Thanks.
Can't.
No, Drew has to go.
We'll do it when Drew's gone.
Oh, wow.
Can you find it, Dawson?
Look at him looking out for me.
Dawson's got it. Don't
right, let's
look
do it. Let's do it.
I was finding other stuff. I don't even know what we're looking for.
Oh, okay. Do you know what you're looking for?
The last minute of talking?
Yes.
We're recording right now. We can't stop the recording and pick it out.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
I thought sometimes you could rip stuff off for like an instant replay.
We have a setup for that for Brian, but when we grab stuff, we grab it at a break.
Oh, okay. Well, Drew, you are dismissed. We'll
all right.
play it.
I want my joke primer, though, so I can try to be a good student of when a joke's coming. Because I clearly don't know what the fuck.
Well, let me just give you one tip.
Yes.
You know I love you,
yes,
and I've known you for a million years. Would I ever come out of the gate insulting you if I wasn't going to make it some sort of sarcastic thing, like saying you're being too dour and sullen and you're being too nearsighted? I would never say that to you in real life.
Another part about sitting next to Adam, I don't perceive insults or negative. I just don't even perceive it. It's like
it's hardened.
So I didn't notice that's what that was. So.
Well, Drew, here's a fail safe.
Yeah.
Wait till the person is done fucking talking,
yeah.
And then you'll be safe every time.
Fair enough.
Because sometimes it'll be a joke, and other times it'll be a statement. But either way, wait for their mouth to stop, and then jump in with your point.
Fair enough.
All right. The great Dr. Drew.
Love you.
At drdrew.com.
Right. Yeah. Bye, guys.
See you. And check out the live stream. Sorry, live streams and podcasts as well, and locals. All right, let me hit Simply Safe here. Most home security companies trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support. There's only one no-brainer. That is Simply Safe. Everything to protect your home. An arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room, window, and door, tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals if need be. Set it up in under an hour. How about that? Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No contracts, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. Starts at about $15 a month. U.S. News & World Report named it best overall home security of 2020. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Make sure that they know our show sent you.
All right. Let's see. I took a trip to Stockton. I had this funny thing yesterday. Yeah. Rental car. Mike August took another one for the team, man. We were leaving the gig. There was no way we were both going to make that Southwest flight out of Oakland at 8:30. We left Stockton at 7 for an 8:30 flight out of Oakland. Mike drives like a fucking maniac, and he has a new thing that annoys me about Mike.
Oh.
A new thing. Now, the old thing that annoyed the fuck out of me about Mike is him having to cut all his food up. And when we ordered...
Oh, yeah. Didn't he, like, cut his steak into cubes?
He cuts everything up together and then eats it. And it's more glaring. We went out and ate Mexican food when we were in Salt Lake City. And we get the food, you know, the enchiladas and the whole thing. And Mike takes it straight, cuts it all up on the plate. Just cuts it all up for it. All right. That is now taking a back seat to Mike August's most annoying new quirk. Although it's not new. None of it's new. But it now drives me insane. When he drives an automatic car, he shifts it all the way through, up and down, up and down. It doesn't matter if he's driving a rental car or he'll drive my car and I'll jump in the pen. Shift, shift, up, shift, shift, down. He's not shifting it out of drive. He's dropping gears and gaining gears. And every once in a while, the fucking automatic car gets like confused. You know what I mean? Like it's like, it'll like pop down or pop it back up again. Mike, it's an auto fucking matic. It's an automatic car.
What does he think he's doing?
Isn't that bad for the car?
Well, he does quit screaming.
I literally screamed at him yesterday. It was like we dropped the gear and he dropped down two and then popped up one. I go, The fucking torque converter's going to explode, Mike, for no reason. For this, no, I don't know what we're doing. Put it in drive and just simply drive the automobile. Oh, no. And he's pulling down. He's popping up.
The first thing we do when we get into a rental car is August looks to make sure he can shift, and he's just so delighted when he finds out that he can drive and just shift along the street.
We were hauling ass.
Simple
from
pleasure.
Stockton to Oakland last night trying to make this flight. Mike was fucking dropping gears like Mario Andretti on that, all in automatic mode, not with the paddles, with the hand shift, you know, because that's what you want when you're weaving in and out of traffic. So it's best to have one hand loosely placed on the steering wheel and the other riding the automatic stick shift where you need it.
He downshifts to slow down. Like he doesn't touch the brake.
He's upshifting and downshifting all the way to fucking Stockton and all the way back to Oakland. And he did it all the way to LAX. And I was like, Mike, this is my car. This is not a rental car. You're shifting in a shaft and all the way to LAX. Fucking reel it in. Just put it in park. Put it in drive and we'll drive.
That's a ballsy move to do that in your car.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was picturing a rental car. I'm like, nah, it's tough, I guess.
He's got a real case of the fuck-its.
He's
got a terminal case of the fuck it. Jesus Christ.
Inoperable.
Oh, yeah. As long as we're piling on Mike. I had this one, too, from, was that Salt Lake? We're yeah. back. So it was like, it was UFC night, right? And this is a thing, this isn't exclusive to Mike. This is a thing that guys do.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
Everyone does it. So I'm sitting backstage. It's between the early show and the late show. And Mike is sitting back there watching college, you know, betting on college football and yelling at the TV and, you know, eating his garden burger or whatever he ordered. And I'm back there, and it's UFC night. There's a UFC card on. And Mike goes, main event, who's home? Who's home? Or home? I said, I don't know. Holly Holm. She's a UFC fighter. She beat Ronda Rousey. So is it, I don't know, is it Holly Holm? He's like looking at the fight lineup on his phone or on the TV or something. He goes, no, this a dude. I go, I don't know any Holm. I know Holly Holm. That's all I know. No, it's not Holly Holm. It's a dude. I go, okay. Then 10 minutes later, who's Holm? Do you know Holm? Holly Holm. I only know one Holm. It's Holly Holm. She's a UFC fighter. She's ranked, and she's the one who beat Ronda Rousey by kicking her in the head. No, this a dude. I go, okay, well, then I don't know who it is. I go do the fucking show. I come back out. He's watching two women fight. One of them's Holly Holm.
Hey, it's Holly Holm.
And he goes, hey, this is the main card. This is the main event. I go, yeah, that's Holly Holm. And he goes, it's a woman, Mike. I've told you 5 times it was a woman. And he goes, huh, I didn't know.
Oh, you seemed so sure earlier.
Not wrong.
I like when people do it. I know you didn't know. And then you ask someone who knew. And then I told you the answer. And then you rejected it. In his world, to be fair to Mike, he couldn't picture women at the top of the card.
That's being fair to Mike?
Well, in this conversation,
sure.
I'd say yes. He just didn't think women were doing the main, you know, the main fight. Like, a bunch of dudes fought underneath and some other women, but now we're at a point when we do it. But my whole thing is, I kept yelling at Mike, it's Holly Holm. That's who I said it was. You asked me, and I gave you an answer. I didn't know.
Right. So say, okay, maybe. No, it's a dude.
I think it goes down as a tie in his book.
Yeah, a lot of ties going down. Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. So anyway, Mike, this is good. Mike was a shifting and a shafting all the way back from Stockton. And by the way, the woman who put the event on, when she brought me on to speak for 20 minutes, said to the room, this guy's got an 8:30 flight. It's now 6:40. This guy's got an 8:30 flight out of Oakland. You think he's going to make it? And everyone's like, no, he's not going to make it. And then Mike said, Mike, now this is the good Mike quality. He's like, we had a rental car and the rental car required a shuttle. And ooh. Mike's like, there's no way we're both making this flight. I'm not. If we go to the rental car place, because when we left Stockton, Waze said it would be 1 hour and 6 minutes to get to Oakland and the airport, and the flight was at 8:30, meaning we were going to get there after 8. And although with Mike and the shifting and the shafting, we cut about 5-6 minutes off it. But Mike is also great because Mike does not think that other municipalities have a police force.
That's right.
He's driving on the fucking shoulder. He's weaving in and out. Well, as soon as we get a little daylight, he's going 95 miles an hour. I'm like, Mike, you do understand if you lived here, you would understand that there are cops and highway patrol and guys with guns, you know, radar guns and stuff. I know you wouldn't. See, Mike wouldn't drive this way in his own neighborhood because he's going to get pulled over. But I'm having to explain to him, this is someone's neighborhood, Mike, and they live here, and there's cops. Like, he drives with crazy impunity. He's shifting in a shaft, and he's darting in and out. He's a big, you know, sliding in and out, going on the shoulder, going 95. And, like, I'm appreciating it because I'm trying to make a flight. But it's so insanely obvious. Like, he looks so erratic because it's not smooth. You know, it's like jamming on the brakes and yanking to the left. And if you're behind him and you're a cop, this guy looks like a drunk driver.
That's the 580 freeway.
Yes.
Pretty much just one freeway. That's a heavily enforced corridor in the Bay Area.
Well, somehow we made it to Oakland, and Mike, God bless him, said, no time for both of us to make this flight. I will drop you off, and I'll stay at a hotel. And I said,
hero.
Thank you. Enjoy enjoy your last 189 shifts for the quarter mile before you get to the drop-off place. And when you get that Salisbury steak tonight, when you're chopping into mincemeat, I want you to think of me. All right. We'll take a little break. And Ravi Patel is on, and he'll be with us right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Ravi Patel's Birthday Cocktail Party for December 18th. Let's see who's here. Katie Holmes is here. Somebody quick, shut the door. Shut the door. Too late. Keith Richards just showed up. Oh, great. Joseph Stalin is here. Ty Cobb just walked in. Katie, go hide behind the bar. Stone Cold Steve Austin just showed up with all of his muscles. Ray Liotta's here. Karen. Jesus, Franz Ferdinand just showed up and he brought a damn guitar. Oh, great. Chances with Katie are gone, bro. Because walking through that door right now is Brad Pitt. Steven Spielberg's here. So is DMX. Well, better late than never, and in an effort to even out the ratio, here's Christina Aguilera. And Sia. Well, Sia. Ravi Patel is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Did we suggest that the Archduke Franz Ferdinand is bringing guitars?
Dawson's taking a lot of artistic license with these things. These things used to be a tight 8 seconds, and now Dawson's ruminating. By the way, that is a...
I was thinking of another person.
Yeah.
Were you thinking of the band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This party sounds exhausting, by the way. I would leave after 5 minutes.
I did not think of a historical figure.
He was the guy
who was
shot.
World War
I
guy who got killed? Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, the reason we
Dan Carlin hates me.
That was awesome.
But Ravi, by the way, is how we pronounce it. And my birthday party, in sharp contrast to this who's who of A-listers and historically important people, I got Todd Bridges from Different Strokes. That is the biggest name on my roster, my birthday roster, is Todd Bridges. So you, Ravi, have a kick-ass birthday.
No, I mean, I think it just goes to show you're a man of the people, bro. Of course you have some other guy from Different Strokes.
The new docuseries is a 4-part docuseries, Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness. He travels to Mexico, Japan, South Korea, Denmark to find out how each culture approaches life's most pressing matters. What did you find out about those individuals or those nations?
That was one of the most passionate reads of a premise of a show ever given. Thank you so much. No, I'm kidding, dude.
Clearly, we're still pursuing happiness.
No, man, I'm stoked to be here. I don't know if you remember this, by the way, but I came here after my documentary Meet the Patels came out, and you said the funniest thing about my dad that I'll never forget. You said, if you were to ever make a cartoon of my dad's face, you would use his face. And I thought it was the most accurate thing because his face is so animated.
Yeah, that was a very interesting documentary, as I recall. Well, where can you find that documentary, by the way? Is it
actually on HBO Max too? They bought it after my show, you know, as kind of a way to promote my new show there. Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness is the name of the show. It's 4 episodes. It actually was originally at CNN. It came out of meetings at CNN after Bourdain's unfortunate passing, and it eventually led to them giving me a show, and they basically said, you know, the only thing we need to be is to include international travel. But other than that, do whatever is authentic to you.
Oh, damn. So, you're going to pay me to do this and find out what makes people happy. Right?
Yeah, I know. And that's why, I mean, every episode I travel with someone in my life. And that was intentional because I'm like, you know, I've been a part of so many canceled shows. I know that nothing really lasts. And so I was like, I'm going to find a way to enjoy this no matter what. And even if it does go on forever, I'll enjoy it even more because I'm not alone. So yeah, the premise is every episode I travel with someone in my life and we are tackling some big life questions. And I literally just pulled things that I was kind of urgently discussing in therapy and turned them into episodes. And so we go to different parts of the world where they're addressing these questions in a way that is different from the way America does them.
Yeah, what is the way they do it? Because obviously you just look at the top here and you see Mexico, comma, mm-hmm. Japan, and you go, okay, they must address this quite differently. But
yeah.
How do they? How does Mexico address it versus Japan?
So, okay, so in each episode, it's a specific question. So the Mexico episode, I went with my parents who you know, have recently retired, and we went to one of the hottest retirement destinations for Americans, a place called Merida. And that episode was entirely about retirement and aging. It came out of a conversation in therapy where I was saying, you know, I feel like a lot of my friends' parents are getting sick. They're passing, everyone's getting older, and I've never even been to a funeral, which I realize is insane. And I was like, you know, what are the questions that I'm going to wish I'd asked sooner that I might be asking here after they've passed? So that's what the Mexico thing. It was like, oh, you know, we adventured and kind of laughed our way through the retired community. There is so much fun. But then at the foundation of it, it was kind of us talking about like, what do we want for the rest of our time together? It's kind of a bummer if you think about, you know, my parents' generation or our parents' generation, they probably didn't get the status quo that they thought they were signing up for in terms of, you know, we don't need the older generation the way we used to. We have Google. We don't really need wisdom from them. We don't really need anything from anyone now. I mean, there's an app for pretty much everything. We live further apart from our families. And, you know, in the episode, we even do the math of how often we actually are going to see each other over the course of the rest of their lives. And it's, you know, seeing them once or twice a year, it's kind of a sad figure. And, you know, as a result of that, you know, my wife and I are actually, we're going to move east next year to be closer to both sets of grandparents. So that was the Mexico episode.
Yeah, and that message really resonated. I've had that conversation with friends since. I have not talked about it with my parents, but I've thought a lot about it because it's too heartbreaking and I wouldn't do that to them. But I think about like, okay, my mom's in the center. Okay. So what I probably have, let's be conservative. So let's say I have 10 more visits and I'm really, instead of, you know, or a dozen,
yeah,
or cause we don't live in the same part of the country. And so when it's right. Like, oh, Van, another Thanksgiving, that conversation, you know, about Mexico goes, don't do that because you're just, you're going to check one off the box and the boxes are getting less and less.
Yeah. And I think the pandemic has probably accelerated those ideas for all of us and kind of just, I mean, I know for me, it was something I was already thinking about, but it's really cemented for me that I don't really, you know, I want to prioritize being near my family and also living around more normal people. And kind of a slower, simpler life with less overhead. And I also want to raise my daughter in a place that hopefully isn't so achievement and narcissism focused.
What do you mean? You're going from LA to, did you say where your parents lived?
No, they live in Charlotte and my wife's family lives in Atlanta. So we're looking at, we rented a place in Nashville for 6 weeks starting in December as kind of a test drive. We might go try out like Chapel Hill, Raleigh after that, and then maybe Charleston as well.
Yeah.
Still trying to figure it out.
I hear that's great living out there. I mean, I guess as we spoke at the top of the show, any place but California these days.
Yeah, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. I grew up about 4 miles from where I'm sitting right now. I grew up in North Hollywood and I just lived, my entire family lived in North Hollywood in different miniature shitty houses
Oh, that's where I live, by the way. I mean, I live Valley Village.
Yeah. Well, Valley Village is what they deemed another part of North Hollywood who didn't want to be associated with that yeah. North Hollywood. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We might be, God, well, this is an interesting segue. So the house I grew up in, it was demolished a few years ago because it was such a horrible piece of shit house. But I had an interesting insight, as long as we're talking about North Hollywood, Valley Village, and therapeutic insights. Mm-hmm. Anyone who knows me knows that whenever I build something or design something or make something, and I do a lot of that, I don't have sharp corners. I dog ear the corners. I 45 the corners. Yeah. I build.
It's just safe living.
It's safe living. And Maxipata can show you a picture of the carpet in the back or the wall in the back or whatever. Everything I design, everything I build, I don't make sharp angles. You can see there's a dog eared corner to the shop and the carpet's dog eared. As well, the corners of the thing. So, I had this weird break. Oh,
so, this is always an aesthetic. This is also an aesthetic preference.
An aesthetic, but it runs deep and strong with me. Like it's my I build everything. Oh, I built my movie theater, my house, and I dog eared the outside corner. It's not the kind of thing that most people would do, or even most builders would do. But I always did it, and I was always nuts about it. And I was sitting here talking to Dr. Drew earlier today, and he was looking at old pictures of the house I grew up in on Houston Street.
Oh, boy.
Houston Street off of Colfax.
Literally like three blocks from me, just so you know.
Oh, really? I later moved to Otsego Street and Hartsook Street.
I'm on Otsego. Okay, wow. Wow.
I actually...
Too long is mine.
I moved to... now we got to figure this one out. Are you between Colfax and Laurel?
We didn't finish the thought.
Okay, sorry.
Well, I mean, I was really excited about that.
This is
good.
This is interesting. So this is interesting. Yeah. So I've always had an obsession with non-sharp corners and dog-earing corners and clipping corners. And there's 2,000 examples of that in my life.
Well, we just went through a whole visual set of references. By the way, I really appreciate the visual agility on your show showing me that stuff. Thank you.
There's 800 more of those examples. And as I was looking at pictures from my old piece of shit house inside of the kitchen back in the 80s, I grew up in North Hollywood.
More visuals.
I'll describe what's going on. There is a kitchen, and in the corner, right before a hallway, is our refrigerator. And my room was in the back of the house, and I would walk left to right. And if
you
show
the corner in this room,
the Winchester kitchen,
It's octagonal.
You show,
is this
show
Alice
another
in
picture.
Wonderland? Is your bedroom past that door that is on the other side of that fridge?
Oh, you don't have the other pictures?
No, I have it. Kaylin's the one doing it. Kaylin, scroll through it.
Oh, come on, yeah,
Kaylin.
Go one more. So you see the fridge.
Yeah.
Your fridge is pushed. Go ahead, Kaylin. Yeah.
This is quite a place.
The fridge, Kaylin.
Haunted.
What? Wouldn't Gary give you those pictures of the...
A lot of wiggle room for that dishwasher door.
So the refrigerator through the door opening, Maxipata. Sorry, I don't know why Gary didn't do it. Anyway, the fridge in that house, the kitchen was so small and the house was so small and it was so poorly laid out that we had the refrigerator almost in the hallway. My room was the service porch in the back, and I'd have to walk by that refrigerator every day times 10 to get in my room. And I would bang my shoulder on the corner of the refrigerator. Because
why didn't you get better at that?
I should have been more graceful about it. But I remember having to do a move to get by the refrigerator.
You did a swim move?
Yes. I did a swim, a Deacon Jones type head slap with a swim move over the top so I could get to my room every day. And as I was sitting staring at this bevy of horrible pictures from my house where the refrigerator just blocked everything, I had a breakthrough. You can look through this other picture. You look right through the kitchen door. It's right in the middle of the house. It's right in the middle of the hall. Like if you walk There's probably one more that's even better. But if you walk through my house, you will bang the refrigerator. Comically, there was never anything in the refrigerator. But either way, I would do a swim move, and I would get around it, and I'd go to my room. And at some point, I must have developed a hatred for sharp corners that were not placed well.
That makes sense. And amongst other complexes, let's get that out of the way. I would have, in my mind, the Corolla childhood montage involves like we're listening to Footloose. You're sliding right past that door.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost time
rock and roll, isn't it?
In your underwear, in a business casual shirt.
Yeah, so some sort of contraption is making the eggs, like in Back to the Future 2, or is it 3? I don't know.
So are you on Otsego in North Hollywood or Valley Village?
I'm between, and I can't wait for the Corolla fan to come after me.
Yes.
I'm between Hartsook and I'm at the park. You know where that park is that sits against, not the big one, but the small one in Valley Village?
Yep.
I know exactly where that park is.
I literally live across the street from that park.
Oh, that's
so I'm half a block. I'm on West Park off of Otsego.
Hyper local.
Yeah.
That's a cute neighborhood.
Looked at a house on Houston the other day. So did you go to Colfax?
I went to, Colfax Elementary was my grade school. And then I went to Walter Reed and then I went to North Hollywood High. So I never strayed very far. But, next time you're walking down Houston and you get to 11752 Houston, look down for the plaque because
it's a historical landmark.
Now, a lot of these college kids want to tear it down because some of my recent tweets. Fine, I said.
No. By the way, oh my God. So I looked you up because I was like, I wonder what he's been up to. Lots of controversy around these tweets. What's been the response?
You know what's weird about being a douche?
I do, actually.
Go on.
Yeah.
You see, if you're Ellen and you pretend you're not a bitch, then you have to do a lot of answering for things and compensating for others and do that.
Yeah.
But if you just kind of own it, if you're just like, hey, I'm a comedian, I got my opinions, fuck off, then everyone leaves you alone.
Well, that's what's amazing about your whole deal. You're one of the few uncancelables, and I think I admire the hell out of it. Well, just so I understand the premise, were you saying that shutting down the economy to any extent is bullshit, or were you saying that the virus itself is like overblown or made up?
Why does it have to be just one?
I was saying
you can have all of them.
I was saying this thing was being pitched to all of us like it was a first class killer, and it's a first class killer for old people and for sick people, but it's not a world class killer for folks that can be out and working, and locking people down is good when you're in a vulnerable group. But if you're not in a vulnerable group, then you don't need to lock down, and we shouldn't be.
But that's not a controversial take. That's not a controversial.
No, but when you call everyone pussies at the end of
that's not nice.
Then it gets Then it gets them riled up.
Riled.
And also, no, these things aren't going to be that controversial. You know, 4 months ago, it was a lot more controversial. And now there's more places opening, more data coming in, more experts talking about ramifications of, you know, kids not going to school. It's not a one-way street. It's like they're safer at home, I guess. But then there's emotional and mental problems that go along with that. And for beyond. So anyway.
So are you still pissed off about how it's being handled specifically in California or in the country as a whole? Like where are you at with it now?
I would like to go out to dinner inside of a restaurant. That's the way I feel. And I feel like I could make that fucking choice. And I travel the country. I've been to Texas 3 times. I've been to Arizona a bunch of times. I've been all over the place. And the first thing we do is find a cool restaurant to eat inside of. And then we go to Salt Lake City and we go into a great Mexican food place and we eat there. And then we leave.
Why aren't you happy if you're already doing all that? Just because you can't do it in L.A.?
Because when I talk to my friends, I'll give you a perfect example. Kevin, one of my greatest pleasures was going out every 2 or 3 weeks to get a steak with my friend Kevin Hench, who's created a bunch of TV shows. He's just a dear, dear friend. He's just one of these guys you love to hear what he has to say. And we used to go to Morton Steakhouse in Burbank, and that's where we would go to have our steak and sit in the big Naugahyde booth in the corner and order the martinis and stuff. And the place has just been basically closed down since, I mean, I think they put some tables outside now, but it's 103 degrees outside. I'm just saying, I want to go to that fucking steakhouse with Kevin Hench.
I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting that. I mean, I don't understand why. I clearly don't understand the entire context other than you said pussies, but like, that's not a controversial take. That's a common take that, you know, some people feel like we should have done more. Some people feel like we should have done less. The fact of the matter is there's no guidebook for dealing with a traumatic moment, whether it's in life or society. And at the end of the day, everyone's just trying their best, right?
I'm not even trying my best, but I'm just fucking letting it all hang out. I mean, there were 85 people on my Southwest flight yesterday out of Oakland and to Oakland. I mean, that flight was crowded. People are like slobbering through their mask, eating snacks the whole time. I mean, that was a petri dish in there.
Are you a mask guy? Are you okay with masks?
I wear them wherever I have to wear them or wherever I'm required to wear them.
But if you're not required to wear it, you're not wearing it because you don't think it's useful or because fuck the mask.
I assume that I'm going to be exposed to this. I don't want to harm other people. Well, first off, the use of the mask is very fakakta. It's like pull it down, drink something, push it back up. Your nose is hanging out. I have a big problem with fogging up my sunglasses if I'm walking around with it.
Fog's a problem.
Evidently, I'm a mouth breather. So I wear
Andy Reid with that little visor.
Me and Andy Reid. Yeah, we're both big mouth breathers. Yeah. So my thing is wherever, you know, I just got done traveling, put it on, go through the airport, get on the plane, put it on. But then everyone takes it off and has snacks. They put their fingers in their mouth and then they hang it back on. And then I take it off again. Like I just wear it, whatever's required, whatever they need.
I mean, I definitely feel like we're in. We've kind of normalized what's happening right now as much as we can in terms of, you know, for the most part, life feels fairly normal. I mean, we're not going into restaurants and sitting down, but I can't think of anything that I'm not really able to do other than like, you know, go to parties inside people's houses, which, you know, I'm not really doing anyway at this point in my life.
Well, you got to have a couple teenage kids who should be in the ninth grade and they're just home all day. That
sounds like hell.
That is one definite byproduct of this. I want to talk about your role in Wonder Woman, the new Wonder Woman movie.
Okay.
Gina Grad looks like Wonder Woman, so it's always speaking topical.
It's the biggest compliment I've ever gotten. I wish it were truer, but I smile every time someone tweets something like that.
It's true enough.
That is the kindest thing to be tweeted.
Speaking of new movies, one of the things you can't do here, you can do a lot of places, is go to the movies.
Right.
Oh, that is a big, I would love to just go to one of those movie theaters with a reclining seat and order an IPA beer and just sit back and watch a movie on a big screen.
You a big solo movie guy? Are you one of those guys? Do take in a daytime solo movie at the theater?
I am. Yeah. 92% of the movies I see are alone, and it's awesome.
I'm not.
Makes perfect sense.
I'm not. When I used to review movies for K-Rock for 10 minutes back in the day, Brian may even remember Mr. Burcham used to review movies for K-Rock for 10 minutes. I was forced to go to some like 11 a.m. movies alone, like during the week, and just watch them. And I kind of enjoyed them more than I thought I would.
It's awesome.
It's the best. Daytime movies.
Yeah, especially the theaters that I end up going to or end up being before pre-COVID, 10, 12, 13 people in the theater. It's awesome.
But what's the difference between the movie theater and that room with octagonal edges that I just saw?
Why do you ever have to go to a movie?
Isn't that literally why you build something like that?
I'm a weird guy in that. My family used the shit out of that, and I don't use it. I build it, but I don't use it. I don't know what that is. There's something in me that wants to build it, but not to use it.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah.
It's like, it's almost too good for me. It's not too good for me to build. It's too good for me to sit in and yeah. use.
Not even for sports, because that's my favorite use of those kinds of rooms is like football Sunday.
I've watched.
He has another theater.
Adam has a bigger setup.
I have a bigger setup for that. But
you do? What's that setup?
It's just a car museum where a bunch of guys show up and watch a bigger screen.
Mm. What a
it's
life.
Projector.
Hey,
it's not too good for me.
That's what making it feels like. Good for you.
Yeah.
Carson football.
No, that I use, and that's great. There's something about the movie theater that feels like I'm good enough to build it. I'm not good enough to sit in it. But my family uses the shit out of it.
Maybe there was a small homemade movie theater blocking you in the hallway as a child.
Adds up.
That's just one of the theories out there.
I would like to build a time machine to just go back to my parents in 1975 and explain to them that there's such a thing as a home theater. They would have no
good luck. That's the shit of Bond villains.
Yeah, they'd be like, for them. Your stepdad John has a 13-inch Zenith that's deeper than it is wide. Is that what you're talking about? Like, no, there's whole theaters.
Sorry.
You know what their first question would be? They'd go, where do you put them? In the living room? And you go, no. It's a different room. It's its own thing.
You don't understand. It's its own thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
You get a 13-inch Z in this living room. I'm sorry. I'm springing this on the guys in the booth. But Kaylin, can you put the last picture you put up back up of the living room, you know, where you can see the fridge in the distance?
Because I have a specific Kaylin?
Question about that, because we can all agree, this is a modestly sized living room. We can all
That's
agree.
A nice way to put it.
It looks
Willy Wonka aesthetic. I think
cozy.
It looks cozy.
As though I'm looking at the back of a television. It looks as though the television was placed there as so to create the image of two rooms.
Yeah, it's
like,
bifurcating
like a seating
the
area in the foreground, and where? I assume the television.
Good point. Where would one even watch that TV? There's no sitting
That's like
area.
Back in the day, you know, in the movies and everything, the family would sit around the TV and watch whatever the show was.
But there's nowhere to sit.
Adam, why don't you tell us, since maybe you were there?
Well, the TVs, meaning plural, got added later after I left. They were bought at garage sales, sort of catch-as-catch-can, and dropped in different parts of the house. When I was there, there was only one TV. And that was in my stepdad's separate room, which was also a den, which Chris can probably find a super depressing picture of my stepdad John's room. But that's the only place there was a TV. And when I say the 13-inch Zenith was deeper than it was wide, no hyperbole there.
Mm-mm.
It was physically – it was deeper than 13 inches.
You know, I don't want to continue to shit on your childhood home, but –
I'd like to. I'm over.
There's a big Netflix, you know, always is featuring some, you know, series. Right now, it's like The Haunting of Bly Manor, Bly Mansion. Mm-hmm. And you think these mansions and these manors are always haunted. But your house looks just as haunted as anything I've ever
That's
seen.
True. Yeah.
So we're really sleeping on a genre of like haunted tiny homes.
Yeah.
And we clearly have all the stills we need just to do the pitch. here's another
right
one.
Right in the nick of time.
Yeah.
Was this
house like featured in whatever the inverse of Better Homes is?
Teardowns?
So much. Yeah.
The first act of Sell a Love It or List It.
Yeah.
Worse homes without gardens.
It was featured in the May edition of Teardowns and Shit Shacks. It was right. If you want to find it in the newsstand, you find Oprah's magazine. It'll be right
on this
there.
This month's homes with sharp corners and childhood trauma.
So you look at the paint on my old house, like the interior of the door. That's what 60-year-old paint looks like. It's not. You think it looks like it's been aged down, or it's a color?
It's reclaimed wood. Yeah.
Or the folks that brought you Pirates of the Caribbean got in there. The artists. No, that
the Imagineers.
That is just white paint that is 63 years old that turned yellow and dingy and gray.
Yeah.
Oh, Max Bad, now you got to find the kitchen again and show the cupboards paint blistering and rust rolling down.
Oh, my.
You got to go up. The sink was all filled with mildew. The place smelled. The paint was chipping and bubbling. Look at the paint at the top of the cabinet. The stupid upper cabinets were right over the sink. There was no space for your face.
Well, that's where you would put the, why your face doesn't need to be there. Relax. Yes. Take it easy on the cabinets, okay? That's where I draw the line.
This house looks, in a word, unsurvivable.
It looks difficult, like a good place.
Zoom in on the busted. Yeah, go to the top there.
Can we agree that you wouldn't be who you are today had it not been for this house? I worry about not being able to raise my daughter in a place that has any obstacles or errors or whatever. Like,
yeah. Okay, you're right. Thank you, Mom, for lead poisoning and an eating disorder. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, look how the knives are just sort of hovering. Look, above the cabinet.
That's dangerous.
You got to look at the cabinet and where the knob is, and you just see see rust just bleeding down the side of it. These cabinets look like they were aged down, or some Foley painter got in there and did something. I don't know. You tell Kaylin what
those
to do.
Those knives are trigger ready. I mean, just one bad 5 minutes is a Netflix documentary.
You did have the good matching thermoses, though, one in blue and one in orange.
I mean, I gotta say, I kind of like the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Ravi.
I can see how it would get a little exhausting, but I think there's quite a bit of charm in this place.
Well, I got to say, to walk through, there's a conversation to be had, you know, like, how the fuck could people live this way? Might be one of your conversations, but live in it was brutal, especially when I used to watch the Brady Bunch all the time. And I was like, I want that house.
Yeah, that couldn't have been good. That was the first Instagram in the Corolla household.
Right. Just
looking at that Brady Bunch.
That bathroom is a crime scene.
Ugh. All right, we'll put all the pictures up at AdamCarolla.com and you guys can commiserate. Now,
is that all grout down there between the blue and the brown?
It's 20 years of caulking that's been applied with a flip-flop. Applied and reapplied.
Were you the first in the Corolla, out of the whole Corolla lineage, to get into the handyman stuff? Because it doesn't look like a lot was being done here.
No. I mean, yes, I was. My dad had no skills. My stepdad had a couple of skills. And my stepdad was probably the one who kept applying the caulk over the old caulk and never peeling off the first level. It'd be like if your house had 25 roofs on it. Like, at some point you have to demo the old roof and then put a new roof on there.
And did anyone ever say, like, I'm just going to relax and take a bath in this hallway?
I'm taking a bath.
Don't get it.
Ugh. All right. Well, that's how I grew up, kids. I'll hit True Niagen. You probably don't think about your cellular health. Well, cells are the foundation of all our health. They make us who we are. One important building block of our cells is NAD. It's vital for sleeping, breathing, eating, drinking, and most important, all the stuff we do. So bad news, as we age, our bodies don't make NAD like they used to. Good news, there's a way to boost NAD. True Niagen helps counteract the effects of time on your body, and it promotes cellular repair and helps with healthy aging by supporting your cellular function and metabolism as well. True Niagen caught the attention of the scientific community with its remarkable ability to boost NAD, and they have over 10,000 clinical studies to prove it. Right, Dawson?
Give your cells a boost with True Niagen. Right now, new customers can save $20 on a 3-month supply by going to TrueNiagen.com/Adam. That's TrueNiagen.com/Adam to save $20 on a 3-month supply. TrueNiagen.com/Adam. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, Ravi is rebooting, I think, rejoining. When is Wonder Woman, I'm asking Gina and Bald, supposed to come out?
I literally just researched that today. I think it's mid... No, it's Christmas Day is the tentative release right now. Of course, that could change with any number of, you know, non-openings in certain parts of the
come
world.
Come on, the Jews need something to do Christmas Day.
All right. So, Gina, you got your news.
I do, and I have some different non-Wonder Woman Gal Gadot news.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. All right. Why don't I Oh, we have. We'll play an unprepared. We have.
This is from Nashville. Also, just a heads up, Lafayette has been postponed. I just found out minutes ago due to the hurricanes.
So. Due to the hurricanes. Ooh. All right, here we go. But West Palm Beach is still up. Here we go.
Spanx. Spanx? Women wear Spanx because they're trying to hide shit from us that we're going to find out about anyway and be devastated by. I get the Spanx. They're good for dinner. Yeah, the bartender wants to bang you, but once we get back to the apartment, I'm fucking throwing up because this big pile of goo fell out of your ass. Who's the joke on with the Spanx? Forget about Spanx. What if we invented something called cranks? I just fucking put a huge thing and I fucking walk around like the cock of the walk and everyone's staring at my groin going, wow, Corolla's packing heat. And then we get back to the apartment and we get frisky and I drop my pants, a piece of my chapstick falls out, a big cucumber lands on the floor. Then what? This is fucking false advertising. You can't stuff socks in your bra and you can't fucking spank your panks and what the fuck? How about a little something called diet? Forget about the Spanx. Let's stop hiding everything from everybody. Or, you know, let me say something, ladies. Dudes are horny. You don't have to spank it up for us. You can just go, yeah, I got a fat ass, but I suck a mean cock. And every guy I know will be like, all right, I'm not judging. Can I get some before the salad shows up, or we want to wait? We don't care. Let it all hang out. Everyone's fucking fat. That's what the dimmer switch is for. You just, as everyone gets older and uglier, we just keep ratcheting that shit down. Eventually, the light of the TV is even too revealing. I'll bring that down a couple of notches. You know you're starting to look like shit. I'm feeling the same way. I don't even like walking around my house alone with my shirt off. I'm like, every once in a while I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror and go, what the fuck happened to you? You were all Central Valley in football. What the fuck? This is embarrassing. Now, do they have Spanx? They have Spanx for, you know, the midsection. Do they just keep going? Like, do they have ones to make your fucking calves thinner or your back arm? They have, like, Spanx for the back of your arm. They have one that goes over your head that makes you smarter? Where do the lies end, ladies? What percentage of people out here are wearing Spanx? Just the one dude.
Ravi is back. And, well, I'll tell you what, we got the news coming and there's a Gal Gadot, story in it. So I think we'll talk a little Wonder Woman and your role in it and all that. And we'll do the break. Let me do a 30-second Geico here. Then we'll break. We'll do the news and we'll talk, Wonder Woman in the news block. Geico. Well, you know, it's scary out there. Geico not saving you a ton of dough. So take care of that, man. Go to geico.com. See just how much you could be saving. And I think you can get 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So save all that money at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll do the news with Ravi, Brian, and Gina right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.